Live and Lansing, Jack Ebling is on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
My name is David Brown, filling in for Jack Ebling this evening, and we've got a bit of a Michigan State University theme going on here. We've been talking with a lot of folks both employed at Michigan State University, and I figured it was about time we gave a little time to an alum of Michigan State University. I've not had the pleasure yet of meeting this next gentleman, but I have been made aware of his work as a fellow graduate of the Communication Arts and College, that is the Communication Arts and Sciences College at Michigan State University, with a bachelor's in journalism from Michigan State University. It's indeed a pleasure to welcome a 1995 graduate of the program, Kevin Shaw. Hello, Kevin.
Hey, how are you, Dave?
I'm doing very well, thank you. Lori Robison and I were kind of looking at some of the things that you've done. Very impressive documentary work online at 23films.com. And where do we find you this evening? What are you doing? What are you working on?
Well, I'm actually in my home office. I'm actually doing some work for the NFL Network, a documentary series that I've been producing and directing for them all season, called The NFL Season, a biography. And it's basically a monthly mini-series that's showing on Saturday evenings, which kind of takes you inside and off the field, doing different personality profiles of, your favorite NFL stars out there. So I'm at home actually working on my my editing system, putting together a little piece about Arthur Blank, who is the Atlanta Falcons owner.
All right. Yeah. Now, I'm kind of curious. Folks have a lot of different choices available when it comes to sports programming, and NFL teams and players have been the topic of many, many documentaries. How is your approach different from what we've seen already?
I think what's different about this particular show is that it really delves into trying to get an intimate look at specific personalities. And it's not an X and O's broadcast giving you the ins and outs of what these guys are doing on the field. It really tries to take a look behind the helmet, I would say, and really give you a good personality profile of what makes a particular person tick. You know, for instance, last month, and for this upcoming episode on December 18th on the NFL Network, we did a feature on Ray Lewis, the Baltimore Ravens linebacker. And unbeknownst to a lot of people, you know, Ray has a son in Florida high schools who plays football. And he's a sophomore, and he is starting to become highly recruited by, you know, top 25 programs. We got a chance to follow Ray down when he went to visit his son and watch him play a game, and had him wired, had him with a microphone wired while he was watching his son. And if you know anything about Ray Lewis, you know how intense and verbal this guy is and vocal this guy is on the field. Well, he was the same way in routing his son on during the game. And I think it just gave people really a great look at this guy who, you know, you read about him and you see him on the field and you might have one perception of him. But you watch this feature and you realize and you see this other side of him as a father, you can sit there and kind of relate to him if you were a father yourself, you have kids or what have you. You get another look at him, and something that you probably didn't expect. So I think that's the kind of thing that makes our show different than what's out there.
Is it a half-hour or hour program?
It's a half-hour program, yeah. And a lot of our features end up on the NFL.com website.
Okay.
So if you did NFL.com/the season, you could see a number of those pieces on the web, including
gotcha.
The Ray Lewis episode
sure.
that I just spoke of.
Sure. Well, when you talk about classic television in a half-hour or an hour-long format, there are really no boundaries anymore with the advent of Internet and streaming, I suppose.
Oh, definitely, definitely. I think because you just mentioned that there's so many options out there for viewers, and you can get lost in the choices that are out there. The Internet is a great way, a great tool to put things out there for a specific fan base and your niche. And all you have to do is just let them know that it's out there. And, you know, if there's interest, they'll flock to it.
Yeah.
So that's great.
Well, I think you and I share a little bit of a common interest. I've done professional video production myself. I used to do network halftime features for Michigan State University some time ago. And when you're niched into, say, 30 seconds, 60 seconds, or even a, God forbid, we used to have a 3-minute segment on the old Raycom network series. The perception is if it takes 60 seconds to show, it takes about 90 seconds to produce. But that's not the case at all.
I wish it was. I wish it's 90 seconds to produce. No, it's more depending on the amount of material that you have. You know, you're dealing with days and weeks on end in terms of putting together even a 3-minute feature. I've done 1-minute little teases, and they've taken a week to produce and edit. You know, and that's just because of the level of the quality of work that you're trying to put out there. It takes some time. There's a lot of thought, a lot of craft to the job, you know, that that goes into it. And, you know, I think from the very beginning, just learning that from Michigan State, you know, during my time there, I got an early education as to what it would take to succeed, you know. So, I wish it took what you stated, a couple of hours here or there. It takes a lot longer than that.
What's the toughest part of putting together a half-hour program like the series you're working on now?
I would say just getting the content and the feel right. And when I say the feel, it's kind of a hard thing to describe. But just kind of know, I think, almost as the creator of a project, of a piece, what feels right to you in terms of whether an edit sound looks right, whether a sound bite sounds right, whether just the juxtaposition of the images and the sound bites feel right, and the music choice is right. You know, that all kind of contributes to that word feel.
Sure.
You know, so when those things are working right, you just kind of know it. You know, you kind of bob your head and you see that, yeah, what I'm putting together here is working, and I think an audience is really going to appreciate it, you know. And that's probably the hardest part, trying to get that feel, and that means cutting down some things and rearranging some things, some aspects of your storytelling that you might have thought would work, but now that you're looking at the material, you know, you have to switch some things around to make sure that you're telling the right story that you want to tell.
Well, I'm going to ask you a question that I love to ask every aspiring cinematographer and videographer, and I bet you're going to give me the answer I think you're going to give me. Which is more important in the crafting of a video or a documentary? Does the picture have to look right, or does it have to sound right first?
Yeah, I would say the sound. I would say the sound. I think you can look at a lot of, used to be 5 years ago, a lot of independent movies that came out, and they would always be criticized for the look. It was really rough and shot with home video cameras or what have you, but they sounded fine, you know, and people were engaged with the story because basically they could hear it, you know, and that's the number one thing. I think an audience will forgive what a piece looks like, but they won't forgive audio problems. If you can't hear it, if the sound is overmodulated, if there's some distortion, technical issues with it, that's when an audience person begins to not become loses interest in the picture and can become distracted with it. So I would say audio, number one, definitely.
Yeah, not to mention the right sound bite, right?
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, you want the most compelling and engaging sound to bring your audience into the story.
Well, Kevin, we've got a lot of things we could talk about, and I look forward to an opportunity of chatting a little bit more. And I just got to ask you, what's next for Kevin Shaw?
The Big Ten basketball season, you know, the Big Ten Network, we have a documentary show called The Journey, which is similar to the NFL show that I have mentioned, diving into all the teams and the players that make Big Ten basketball such an extraordinary event. and our season, we had a season last year, which was very successful. Our new season begins on January 9th, and we're prepping right now. And we're hoping that, hey, our Michigan State Spartans will have a great season with Tom Izzo and Kalen Lucas, Darrell Summers, and Draymond Green leading the way.
I think so far they've given you quite a bit of material to choose from already.
Oh yeah, they've been uber compelling, as a journalist might say. So we're looking forward to it.
Hey, if folks want to sample a little bit of your work, where would folks go? What website would you direct them to?
I would direct them to the 23films.com website. You can see samples of the work that I've done for NFL Network and some of the stuff that I've done for the Big Ten Network and The Journey. You can also take a look at the documentary that I did for PBS this year called The Street Stops Here, which was an hour and a half long documentary about basketball Hall of Fame coach Bob Hurley Sr.
Oh, there's some good stuff there. I had a chance to look at it earlier today, and I'm looking forward to watching more. Kevin, thanks so much, and we'll be chatting with you again soon. Kevin Shaw, my pleasure. And Kevin Shaw's got a 95 degree in journalism from the College of Communication Arts and Sciences at Michigan State University. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.